That is a monster win for your Pittsburgh Steelers at Buffalo. That is one of the best opening week wins in recent Steelers memory. And it means so much on so many levels. A, you're 1-0. B, you beat a very good team on the road in a hostile environment. C, you're looking at 2-0 if you win your home opener against Vegas. And then 3-0 when you beat Cincinnati, also at Heinz Field. And then suddenly, you got a cushion. Look at the schedule. The Steelers need a cushion. D, a lot of things that need to happen did happen, which we're going to talk about. And F the Bills Mafia. F them. Overrated team, overrated fans, bunch of table-breaking blowhards. The man of the match is 100% TJ Watt. He earned every penny of that inflated contract. He had 2 sacks, including that strip sack. He had 5 quarterback hits. He had a tackle for loss. He was omnipotent. He was everywhere. And the Bills were impotent. They could not get it up. Cam Hayward had a big game. Cam Sutton had a big game. The defense was dominant, like it has to be dominant every week. And if that's unfair, it's no less fact. Because the offense wasn't good yesterday and won't be good this season. Chase Claypool had a great game. He's the Steelers' number one receiver and needs to be utilized like their number one receiver. We will pursue that subject at great length in just a bit, but what a result. I did not see that coming. 100%, I did not see that coming. This is the Mark Madden Show. I work heel and I work stiff. 412-333-WXDX is the number to call, or you can do what the cool kids do and follow me on Twitter at Mark Madden X. When the Bills went into halftime up 10-0, and even though they did get that late touchdown, Buffalo could have been ahead by many more at the intermission. But when it was only 10-zip, I thought, and I said, the Steelers could steal this game. And that's exactly what the Steelers did. It was a weird friggin' game. It's a game that was defined more by moments than it was by stats. So let's look at a couple of those moments. The Bills took the opening kickoff back to Pittsburgh's 24. Admit it. You were in abject panic. You were throwing crap at the TV. But the Bills only got 5 yards on 3 snaps and had to settle for a field goal. That's a big moment, and the defense took charge right then and there. The Bills turned the ball over on downs twice. Cam Sutton made the play both times, including that razzle-dazzle cluster schmuck the Bills mangled in their own backfield. I was pissed because Tomlin didn't go for it on 4th down a couple times, but that either works or it doesn't. Tomlin's decisions worked, and the Bills did not. You had Claypool going over Tredavious for that big catch. You had Juju with that 3rd down conversion. And, of course, you had the block punt for a touchdown. Like I said, it was a game of moments, not stats. And the Steelers just seized the big moments. But this was mostly about T.J. Watt. Cam Hayward, too. He was awesome. But mostly about T.J. Watt. An outside backer don't get quarterback money. An outside backer don't make quarterback impact. But T.J. Watt did both within 72 hours, and that's how it is for him now. Watt makes the most money, so Watt has to win the game. And yesterday, T.J. Watt did just that. T.J. Watt won the game at Buffalo. The Steelers played a much better second half than they did the first half. I'm not sure if that necessarily indicates them making adjustments. The disappointing part about the game is that the running game wasn't good. The offensive line got 0 push on run blocking. Najee Harris did his best, but it wasn't much. 45 yards on 2.8 yards per carry. Harris got hit real early. A couple times, I think Harris got hit in the huddle. The Steelers' offense in the second half looked a lot like their offense from last season. And I didn't see much of that Matt Canada stuff. I don't think the Steelers are ever going to be able to run the ball. But I don't think they could stray from their commitment to trying. All that adds up to a problem. The weird part was Ben and Harris couldn't hook up in the air. Ben missed a couple passes to Harris. Anyway, that's the opening game, and what a big win. What do you think? What were the pros? What were the cons? Can the Steelers run the ball at all this season? And can that defense make that kind of impact week in and week out? 412-333-WXDX. That's the number to call. Cushion. Like I said, man, cushion. If the Steelers get out to 3-0, that's big. It makes the rest of the schedule not seem as intimidating. Ben was okay. He had more zip on some throws than he did others. It wasn't a great day for Ben. There are some days he's going to have to be better. But Ben's performance reminded me of Peyton Manning when he finished up his career at Denver. He didn't do a lot, but he did just enough. We're going to have Brian Batko of the Post-Gazette on at 4:30. I just saw a tweet where he mentioned that Ben had zero throws of 20 yards or more. Zero throws downfield that far. That seems very hard to believe. Maybe I misread it, but Batko will join me to talk about that at 4:30. The Steelers' defense did look truly elite yesterday. Truly elite. But I'm not sure you can hang your hat on defense in today's NFL and win consistently. It's about offense and it's about scoring points, but the Steelers may have to test that theory. The Steelers may not have any choice. Some interesting snap counts for the Steelers. At tight end, Freiermuth played 50% of the snaps. Ebron played 47%. So it looks like they really are co-number one tight ends. At wide receiver, Juju played 91% of the snaps. Deontay, 76. Claypool, 67. I think they got that ass backwards. I think Claypool's the man. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. Inside backer, Bush played 86% of the snaps. Schobert played 78%. I'm cool with that. I think you brought Schobert in to complement Devin Bush and not to play more snaps than him. Outside linebacker went pretty much like you figured it would, with Watt having had a very limited training camp. Watt played 69 snaps, Ingram 54, Highsmith 46, all played less than 50% of the snaps. And I like that little swerve Butler threw in, the defensive coordinator. He had Ingram line up inside on the pass rush a couple times. And that seemed to confuse the Bills a little bit, and it didn't leave Allen any outs in terms of just going right up the middle if the pass rush penetrated. And here's kind of the big surprise with the snap counts. Trey Norwood, seventh-round pick, played 80% of the snap counts on defense. 80%. He's the nickel. He played 80%. James Pierre played 36%. Arthur Mollett played 15%. And one thing the Steelers did that was very different than what they did when Mike Hilton was the nickel, when he was the blitz nickel, well, he ain't there anymore, so the Steelers almost never blitzed. They only blitzed a couple times the whole game and still had Josh Allen under pressure the whole time. Josh Allen threw 51 passes yesterday. The Steelers proved last year that does not work. Let's take a real quick call. Let's go to Rick in the car. Rick, you're on with Double M.
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
Good.
This might not make sense, but I like that they won. I just didn't like how they won because it's too reminiscent of last year. I just don't want them to fall into that quick passing game trap like they did last year.
I know what you're saying. That makes sense. It had a touch of the fluke about it, didn't it? I mean, they beat a good team on the road after trailing by 10 at halftime. But like I said, I think it was a stolen win. I don't think the better team won, although I do think the team that played better won. And I think the Bills could have easily put that game away by the half and just failed to do so. Got a terrific show for you today. We got Matt Williamson, our football guru, at 3:30. Like I said, Brian Batko of the Post-Gazette joins me to talk still more football at 4:30 p.m. I want your calls now about this game. Let's talk Steelers, 412-333-WXDX. I do have sad news. I'll do a proper eulogy just around the corner. But the Bucco Roundup has been canceled. No more Bucco Roundup on the Mark Madden Show. It has been sacrificed at the altar of lack of interest. It's the Mark Madden Show at 105.90X.
Mattress Warehouse. SleepHappens.com.
From the Century 3 Chevrolet Traffic Center.
Heavy on the Parkway East.
Oh, I know so.
The X at 105.9.
This announcement is long overdue. The Bucco Roundup has been canceled. Because the Steelers season has started, so who give a rat's ass about baseball? And that is the Bucco Roundup for September 9, 2021, and the final Bucco Roundup for this year. A lot of crazy stuff went on in the National Football League yesterday. Green Bay got murdered by New Orleans. Aaron Rodgers looked like he didn't want to be there, and maybe he doesn't. And maybe the Steelers' Week 4 game at Green Bay looks a bit winnable now. Although I kind of doubt it. We shouldn't be judging too much for any team by what happens in the first week. Cleveland almost beat Kansas City. Almost. That's typical Cleveland. I know Kansas City is the defending AFC champ, and I know the game was at Kansas City, but Cleveland was ahead 22-10. Cleveland led the whole game, so all Cleveland did was blow it. Mahomes was great for Kansas City. Cleveland averaged 5.9 yards per carry on the ground and rushed for 153 yards. Cleveland's ground game is going to be tough for the Steelers' defense to handle. On Twitter, somebody tweeted at the Browns' Twitter, "Hey, we know you lost, but is there any chance Owen could get a jersey?" And the Browns tweet back, "Sure, Owen who?" And the reply is, "Owen won. Let's go Steelers." Whammy! And the Browns immediately laid down the block. Cincinnati beat Minnesota. The Bengals will not be pushovers. Arizona killed Tennessee. I did not see that coming. At Tennessee yet. Wow. The Chargers won at Washington. The LA Chargers are my sleeper team. Miami won at New England 17-16. Mac Jones was pretty good for the Patriots, but everybody wants Cam Newton back anyway. So it's been a good week one so far for the NFL. One more game tonight, Baltimore at Vegas. Lots of stories in week one. Let's see if the Ravens can run the ball tonight at Vegas or if they even have a running back available for use. 412-333-WXDX. Lots of great stories from the Steeler game. I think Claypool's their best receiver. I'm going to talk about this at length at the top of the hour. Almost every NFL team has a hierarchy at receiver that goes like this. There's a number one receiver. There's a possession receiver. There's a slot receiver. That's exactly what the Steelers have. Claypool's number one. Deontay's number two, the possession guy. And Juju's number three, the slot receiver. That's just how it is. That's a perfect fit for all three guys. And if the Steelers don't observe that in order to make them all feel equal, they will be doing their team a disservice, especially as I think offensive opportunity will be limited because of the lack of quality with that offensive line. The offensive line got no push on the run. None whatsoever. Chooks graded out really bad from everything I've seen. Kendrick Green had a couple moments. He got downfield a couple times and looked pretty good. I don't think Dan Moore Jr. humiliated himself, but I still think he's a fourth-round rookie. I can't get over Trey Norwood. Seventh-round pick, plays 80% of the snaps on defense. Good on that kid. Obviously didn't do too bad because that would have been easy to notice. Josh Allen, like I said, threw 51 passes yesterday. The Steelers proved last year that doesn't work. TJ Watt was the catalyst for that Steelers D, but boy, was Cam Hayward good. what a great pro cam is. Week in and week out, every season in and every season out. So I want your thoughts on the Steeler game. 412-333-WXDX. Some cat fell out of the upper deck at the Miami University football game Saturday, but he was caught below in an American flag, and he's fine. Except he urinated on everybody. Hopefully on Devin Bush. Novak Djokovic had a chance to win the Calendar Grand Slam. That would have been the first time since Rod Laver did it back when I was in high school, but he blew it. Djokovic blew it. He lost in the U.S. Open final to Medvedev. But nobody cares about tennis because it has no personality. Here is a sign of the times. The Columbus Blue Jackets have added Steve McCarthy as an assistant coach. He refaces the former Montreal Canadian defenseman and deck hockey player, Sylvain Lefebvre, who quit because he refused to get a COVID-19 vaccine per the NHL's employment mandate. Well, Sylvain, you didn't want anybody to be your boss, and now nobody is. 412-333-WXDX. We got our football guru just around the corner. It's a Steeler Monday, and we're going to talk to Matt Williamson in just a moment here on 105.9 The X.
It's Colin Cowherd. Here's what's trending for iHeart Sports Network, presented by Mercedes-Benz.
No training camp, no problem for TJ Watt. The Steelers
like it now, bitch!
The X at 105.9.
It's football guru time. Joining me now to discuss the Steelers' big win yesterday at Buffalo. You hear him on Steelers Nation Radio. You also see him at Steelers.com. He is former pro and college football scout, Matt Williamson. Matt, good. Matt, how good was that Steelers defense? In what ways? And can it be that good every week? Will it need to?
A lot to unpeel there. It was exceptional. I mean, and it really started up front, but it didn't end there. I thought the linebackers played well. The secondary employed seven guys and used those guys in a variety of manners, and I thought Minka was awesome. But it was the pass rush and just whipping up on a pretty good Bills offensive line that was really the difference in the game to me. And a big thing I want people to know is we know the Steelers are a blitz-heavy defense by trade, you know, by nature. And Josh Allen was actually the most blitzed quarterback in the entire league last year. And the Steelers blitzed them heavy when they played a year ago. In this game, I counted one, but I heard somebody say there's two plays where the Steelers brought an extra guy. So, I mean, they were wreaking havoc with four, which allowed them to put different people in coverage, disguise coverage is better. And if that keeps up, and I don't see any reason why it won't, especially with Tua coming back in a couple weeks, they're going to be really, really hard to play against on that side of the ball.
T.J. Watcher earned that big contract, didn't he? He played limited snaps but made maximum impact. For me, he was the man of the match.
I don't disagree at all. I would actually say Cam Hayward was the man of the match, but that's not taking anything away from the great performance Watt had. And those edge guys consistently with the Bills tackles, who are a good pair. Highsmith, Ingram is a star. People don't realize it. I mean, he's a very, very Pro Bowl type of player. Watt's a superstar. But the reason I brought up Hayward was he would just bull rush that guard, Feliciano, back into the pocket. And it really was a good pass rush design because Allen couldn't really, you know, improvise as much. And Allen made some plays with his legs, as he always does, but he was very congested. And I think Hayward had the most to do with that.
Ingram lined up inside occasionally on the pass rush. What did that do and who did that help?
Yeah, that was an interesting thing. A wrinkle we saw was at times those you would have two of the edge guys on the same side or start there and then kind of gradually shift to the center, to the center of the field, and often as we're off the ball a yard or two. I think it's just a different look for them to prepare for, you know, where are these guys coming from. I'm sure we'll see more of it, and it's something Ingram's done a lot of. I mean, to be honest with you, one thing I expected that we didn't see was Ingram actually lined up with his hand in the dirt on the interior. So he can do all sorts of things for you, both outside linebacker spots, a little off the ball, and even lining up at like a defensive tackle spot.
One thing I thought him occasionally lining up inside did, Allen has that escape route where he just kind of goes up the middle, not just to step up in the pocket and throw, but to very often run the ball in an X amount of plays that got taken away. I felt like they never let Allen feel easy out there.
Very well said. I 100% agree. The people don't talk about a pass rush plan enough. You know, like, for example, even like early in Bud Dupree's career, he would run up the field and a tackle would push him wide and it would open up a big lane for a quarterback to scramble. So it's hard to balance keeping that quarterback where you want him while still applying pressure. And I thought that their pass rush plan was exceptional. And that was part of the reason why it was bringing athletes up the middle that can run with them too. You know, I mean, Casey Hampton's not going to chase down, you know, Josh Allen, where an Ingram will.
Trey Norwood is the nickelback. He played 80% of the snaps on D. A seventh-round pick this year, a rookie. That certainly caught us by surprise, Matt, but I got to tell you, he must have done well because you didn't notice him doing bad.
No, exactly. And a wrinkle I saw, you know, it was hard. I haven't watched the All-22 yet, but I was talking to Dale Lawley, who was at the game, and he said a big thing that they were doing, which after he laid it out made an awful lot of sense, was when they would break the huddle, it was uncertain if Norwood was going to play free safety or slot or if Minka was going to play free safety or slot. And by no means am I saying the seventh-round pick is, you know, similar in impact to Minka Fitzpatrick, who was awesome in this game and is the best safety in the league. But if they can do similar things, that's a new wrinkle this defense hasn't shown. You know, Mike Hilton couldn't do those type of things. You know, where is he going to drop back deep? Is he going to be the slot? So that versatility could be a new wrinkle to the secondary that could pay off.
Have we overhyped Buffalo? The Bills sure choked on some big moments. They, again, Allen reflected this. They never looked comfortable, not even up 10-0.
No, they didn't. And it was one of the two of the times that Josh Allen over the last year or so has not looked like a superstar has come against the Steelers. It was in the first half of the last game and pretty much the duration of this one. And I don't know that we've overhyped them. I do think the Steelers are a very bad matchup for them because dealing with pressure is still something that, you know, the young star quarterback has to work with. But I also noticed, you know, like really digging into the Bills last week as they're prepared for the game, they're a very deep team. They're a very well-coached team, but they don't have a ton of star power. I mean, on offense, the guys that scare you are Allen and Diggs, and the Steelers did a really good job of limiting those guys. And the defense is good, but it doesn't have a lot of superstars on it. I mean, Tre'Davious White's a really good corner, but they don't have a lot of blue chippers.
The Bills barely try to run the ball. That was a slippery slope yesterday because, as discussed, the Steelers never blitzed.
Right, and I think that's a very good knowledge of your opponent that, you know, Buffalo had one of the best offenses in the league last year. Rarely ran the ball last year, and it was a very, you know, strategic thing to work to their advantage, especially when you mix in Allen's legs that were a factor again. But Zach Moss was unexpectedly, you know, inactive, and Singletary had a couple big runs late, but that was too little too late. I just think the Steelers realized these guys don't want to run, and I wonder if Buffalo is going to go back to the drawing board a little bit and be like, yeah, these analytics of passing so much is wonderful, but we couldn't take advantage of what the team was giving us with some semblance of a running game. They were very one-dimensional, and that dimension wasn't comfortable, as you mentioned.
We're talking to our football guru, Matt Williamson, here on the Mark Madden Show. We already talked about Trey Norwood. Besides him, how good was that Steelers secondary, and who stepped up?
Minka was awesome, and he's doing more and more. Man coverage against Cole Beasley, robber coverages over the middle and attacking downhill, playing the run. I thought Pierre held in well. I thought Hayden was fine. The rest of the secondary, I mean, I didn't see any noticeable problems. I thought Cam Sutton really, really played well as well. I'm a Cam Sutton believer. I would say he gets a second star in the secondary after Minkah.
Buffalo kind of blew the game in the first half, didn't they? They didn't put the game away. When it was 10-0 at the half, I said, wow, the Steelers might steal this.
I thought the same thing, and I even kind of thought that on the opening drive when they had that long kickoff return to open things and momentum's flying, and you only get three there. I mean, how much different would that game have been if they score right away, Ben and company go three and out, and then you get the ball right back, you know? So I hear you. I mean, they left some plays on the field. I'm not taking anything away from what the Steelers did, but there's a couple long balls that Allen missed, a couple throws he should make that they missed. You know, there was that goofy fourth down pitch back play that they never should have called that worked in the Steelers' favor. And I'm not saying the Steelers were lucky or undeserving. That's not the case at all. But they were able to hang around and weather the storm when the offense was atrocious in the first half.
Well, I don't want to say that the Steelers were lucky either, but there was an element thereof there. I don't think yesterday's game reflects the stats, Matt, as much as it does the big moments. And the Bills choked on the big moments, on the forced downs. And they needed more than 3 points after taking that opening kickoff all the way to Pittsburgh's 24. I thought that was a big stand by that Steeler defense right away.
Now, 100% agree. And of course, the biggest play of the game was the block punt for a touchdown, too. I mean, that was the Steelers stepping up when they need something huge and the Bills kind of crumbling. So, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, there was certainly a lot more poise despite the hardships in the Pittsburgh front.
What did the Steelers' offense do different and better in the second half?
I'm having a hard time pinpointing that, to be honest with you, and I need to watch it more.
Well, actually, Matt, me too, because I didn't see many adjustments. I saw a bit of back to the future because the offense looked like last year's.
Yeah, I mean, there's more shifts and motions, and they had a higher percentage of their throws come off play action. All of that should have been expected with Canada. But I think the Bills told us a lot. I mean, again, they're a very smart team. They're very well coordinated on defense. And generally speaking, the Bills' defense is all about taking away the long ball, make you nickel and dime them. And that's not how they played the Steelers. They crowded the line of scrimmage just like every defense did last year, begging the Steelers to throw downfield, and they didn't really prove that they could. You know, so a lot of RPOs, a lot of quick throws. You know, Ben, again, was at the top of the league, getting the ball out of his hands super quick. So those things need to change. You know, they need to threaten more blades of grass on the field with the intermediate and deep passing, or you're going to see a lot of the same of what you saw last year.
Well, let's stay with that, because I saw a stat that said Ben didn't throw a pass over 20-plus yards in the air. That seems unbelievable, but then again, I don't remember one either.
He didn't. I actually wrote that in an article this morning. It's a little vague because I guess, and again, I'm in the car right now. I'm not looking at a computer. There was one shot that they took that drew a pass interference call. And I think there was another deep throw that they made that came back because of a hold or some other penalty. But if you just look at the box score, nothing that counted was over 20 yards. And he was pretty successful from 10 to 20, but they got to let the ball fly, even if they're not complete. You know, I mean, and some of that goes to protection. Some of them goes to the quarterback. I don't think it has any concerns with the pass catchers, but it's very noteworthy.
I thought Ben's game was kind of a mixed bag, Matt. I thought he had a few bad throws. I thought he made a few big plays. It kind of reminded me of Peyton Manning with Denver, where he did just enough.
Yeah. I thought Peyton Manning, I don't want this to sound, you know, super negative, because Peyton Manning with Denver won the Super Bowl, but he looked like an old man. And Ben, to me,
old man, Lambert, he looked almost dead.
Right. I mean, Peyton Manning couldn't complete out routes of that year. I mean, it was all mental with him. And I think there's some of that with Ben without question. Ben didn't look twitchy or quick. He looked old as a movement guy. Didn't throw the football particularly well, but also wasn't protected very well. I thought it was a little alarming. I expected more in the first game, to be very honest, from Ben. And I hope it's not the beginning of bad things to come. But I didn't like the way he threw the football very well at all.
Is Chase Claypool establishing himself as the Steelers' best receiver, and can he be used more and better? I was shocked that he played the least snaps of the top three receivers.
Yeah, and for people that don't know, Juju played the most, and he's fine. I'm not the biggest Juju fan in the world. I mean, he's a quality player, but he's definitely third. I think Claypool, to your point, is a developing star that it can be a real difference maker, that we're just seeing the scratching the surface. But I also think that that sells Deontay a little short. I mean, in terms of reliability and route running, I think those two will complement each other really, really well, with or without Juju, with or without James Washington. But the short answer is yes. And frankly, I thought Claypool was their best offensive player yesterday.
The Steelers couldn't run the ball, and I thought the O-line looked real bad run blocking.
Yeah.
How do you solve that if you can? Because I thought Najee did his best. He played every single snap. What more can you ask?
Right, and I don't blame him. I will say that I think we have to mention that four of the basically starters, you know, you can call Freiermuth a starter or not, either way, but he's a prominent member, all played their first ever game in the NFL in a really hostile environment. So, you know, I think it should only get better, especially if the quarterback play is better than it was. But I think the biggest thing with the running game comes down to what we were just talking about, that you got to get people out of the box. I mean, the offensive line is having a hard enough time with their one-on-one matchups blocking, but there's always more people in the box than they can block because no one's afraid of the deep and intermediate passing game yet.
How big are these next two games, both at home against Vegas and Cincy? Because at 3-0, even though your schedule's real tough after that, it's kind of a good cushion, isn't it?
Sure is. And obviously, since he's in the division, but that's three AFC wins, you know, when you start to look at wild card tiebreakers and things like that. And I haven't given the Bengal game much thought, but I'm excited to watch the Raiders tonight. But, boy, both those offensive lines are noticeably worse than Buffalo's. I mean, is that the short answer right there? I mean, if teams with below average offensive lines, are they going to be able to compete with this pass rush whatsoever? I mean, I would be very fearful if I'm the Bengals or Raiders watching that tape going, well, what answers do we have?
And finally, Matt, Vegas plays tonight at home against Baltimore. Very interesting game here in Pittsburgh because Vegas comes to Heinz Field Sunday, and Baltimore, of course, is a division rival. What are your expectations for the Raiders? I think the Steelers should beat them at Heinz Field regardless of what happens tonight, but I don't think the Raiders stink either.
I think it's a really difficult environment. You know, new stadium, the black hole, all that nonsense. But I don't have much faith in the Raiders. I mean, one of my favorite bets that I promoted heavily this offseason was Raiders on the under on their win total. I don't have much faith in the coaching staff, the organization as a whole. I think they're a bottom feeder. I mean, stink is maybe a strong word, and this isn't a great time to play them if you're Baltimore, especially with all the injuries the Ravens have had to deal with and canceling practice. But I trust Harbaugh to get it right a lot more than I do the Raiders.
Matt, great stuff. We'll do it again next Monday.
All right, Mark. Take care.
That is Matt Williamson, our football guru. How can that segment not be sponsored? My ad reps are letting me down once again. Matt Williamson is the football guru. He needs sponsored. Top of the hour, I'm going to talk more about Claypool being utilized more and better. Just around the corner, we'll talk about Pitt football off to a 2-0 start. Don't get your hopes up. Never get your hopes up with Narduzzi's Pitt. 105.9 The X.
This Friday and Saturday night,
IR Radio,
the ultimate once-in-a-lifetime music event returns.
Let's do this, Vegas.
The biggest...
Attention, dumb skull, and talk.
The X at 105.9.
I want your thoughts on the Steelers' victory. Does this win validate the Steelers as a contender? Or is it just 1 week? Can that defense play like that every week? Does that defense have to play like that every week? Ben didn't throw a ball over 20 yards in the air. That doesn't seem good. What are your thoughts on his game? Should they ask Claypool to do more? Should he be the clear-cut number one receiver? Are the Steelers ever going to be able to run the ball? Or is Najee Harris a wasted pick, at least for a year? Not because he's no good, but because the offensive line is so bad. If Baltimore could lose tonight at Vegas on Monday Night Football, that'd be a big boost for the Steelers. It's early, it's week one, yada yada, but if the Steelers are going to make the playoffs, they're going to do so by one game. It ain't going to be easy. It's going to go down to the wire. The one game the Steelers make it by could be Baltimore losing to the Raiders tonight. Your thoughts on any or all of that, dial 412-333-WXDX. No quarter. Brought to you by CW Electrical Services. Make the switch at CWElectricalServices.com. I had a great time at the T-Box in Elwood City for the Steeler game yesterday. I'm at the Schoolhouse Tavern in Claridge next Sunday for the home opener against Vegas. And I saw Fozzie last night at Jurgles. Great to see the band and then hang with Chris Jericho and the band after. And Leeds nil, Liverpool 3 at Elland Road. Harvey Elliott got hurt. Liverpool's 18-year-old phenom. Dislocated ankle. He's going to be out for a couple months, it looks like. But Liverpool is tied for top. And I'll take what I can get. It was a good Sunday. Conor McGregor threw a drink at Machine Gun Kelly at MTV's Video Music Awards. I didn't even think MTV played videos anymore. So why are there Video Music Awards? There was a brief scuffle between McGregor and Machine Gun Kelly, so maybe we're headed for another contrived fight. I still think Conor McGregor got to fight a Paul brother. I know one thing for sure. Conor McGregor wasn't hugged enough as a kid. Yikes. What a constant cry for attention. 412-333-WXDX is the number to call. Let's go to Andrew in Evan City. Andrew, you're on with Double M.
What up, man?
What up, man?
Hey, I just wanted to make a comment on your comment on the Steelers. I am not worried about anything, but I don't think we should be overly aggressive in our thoughts for a great season. But I think the defense will prevail and will be our stronghold. And I think our offense is only going to get better every week. I have true faith in that.
I just question whether the defense can make that kind of impact every single week.
The Bills are supposedly a Super Bowl contender, and look what we did.
Yeah, maybe they're not. And I think that whether it's against a Super Bowl contender like the Bills, and by the way, I think they still are, Andrew, or whether it gets the crappy team like Vegas, I think a defense can only have so much impact every week. Like, I just don't know that it's going to, you know, be that crucial to the result of the game every week. I mean, here's hoping, but it's just not that kind of league anymore, Andrew. The Steelers had that kind of defense, but it's just not that kind of league.
I do agree with you, maybe throughout the longevity of the league, but look at the Super Bowl with Tampa Bay. What a shutout that they put on with the Chiefs. Defense is still there in the playoffs, Mark, and defense can still win Super Bowl.
Yeah, but I'm talking about getting to the playoffs. I'm talking about the cumulative effect of the Steelers' defense over 17 weeks.
I hear you.
It won the game yesterday, though. Make no mistake, full credit to that defense, and especially to T.J. Watt, Cam Hayward, too. The defense won the game yesterday. Okay, up next, we're going to talk offense. Chase Claypool. Is he the number one receiver? Should he be utilized thusly? It's the Mark Madden Show on 105.9.
That's it. Now we're totally gonna rock. Oh my god, call your friends. Kaka.
Shout out to Shaler. Don't think I've